Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Well, it's kind of funny how stuff changes, like, within 10 days, and how everything that I talked about on the last podcast is possibly all lies. Well, not everything I talked about on the podcast, but Briss, for the most part. We'll get into that in a minute. How's everybody doing? Hope you're all doing okay. Right now in Arizona, we're melting with the heat, and we also happen to be the hot spot for the COVID right now, so things are starting to get a lot more weird out here. I don't know if it's going to exceed the weirdness of the first lockdown situation that we went through out here, but with the number of people that supposedly have COVID and the hospital beds all being used up and people just running scared with disinformation and nobody really knows what is going on, I'm a little jacked up. I mean, I don't really put myself out there that much that I need to worry all that much about COVID, but today I did have to go out and get a few things at the Walmart, joy of my life, you know, and take the bus, which is another kind of probably not a great place to be if you're trying not to get COVID, considering that our reservations, both Apache and Navajo, are screaming high with cases. And I have a friend who works EMS out here, and he says that when you go to the White Mountain Apache Reservation, there's carnage all over, which I don't even want to know exactly what that means and how serious that is, but I know that's not good. There's carnage all over the res anyway, from drinking and other stuff that, you know, goes on out there that's not good. But to add the COVID to it and the lack of water and sanitation and, you know, people living, you know, 18 to a house, or I mean, it's sad and it's eye-opening and it's also preventable. However, I don't have any idea what it would be to fix it right now. I mean, bring potable water in for them. Hey, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, kind of a no-brainer idea. They're trying to isolate the reservation. They've got them on freaking 24-hour lockdown for the most part. Although there were a few natives on the bus today that had to walk quite a way to get back to the res because the buses won't even take us to the casino where that was a normal drop-off point for the reservation. And it's not even going there. I mean, number one, the casino is closed. It's been closed for months. But secondly, it's just the fact that it's not even bringing people home to where they live. Kind of felt bad for the four guys coming off the bus today that had to walk a while to get to the res from where they were dropped off at. But, you know, it's just another thing, you know, that people need to take into account. Yeah, our lives are affected. Stuff is not as it should be. You know, I don't really even, as you all know, I'm pretty much, you know, to myself kind of girl. And now after this thing with Briss, which we'll get into, I'm definitely isolating and I'm kind of maybe done with people, but, you know, I really don't know. Let me just get into what happened, and then I don't have to keep on prefacing and saying I'll get to it. So, I'm going to go with Briss was altered, and I may or may not have promised him that I would do something for him of a sexual nature. You know, I probably had earlier in the day, you know, and then he shows up that 4th of July, actually, shows up on 4th of July night around 11 o'clock, and he's like, I almost got into a fight with somebody, and he was all jacked up, and he was, you know, he was not in a state of mind where I even had a second thought that that's what he had come by here for. I thought he'd just come by here to bitch and moan and, you know, prove his manlyhood to me that, you know, he could have gotten into a fight someplace and, you know, all that. It didn't even cross my mind that that's what he was here for. I, honest to God, will say that it didn't even cross my mind. I was already asleep. I was, you know, 4th of July was just another no day for me. Nothing happened. I didn't go anywhere. Where are you going to go? You know, no barbecue, no people around, just, you know, me and Doc and the cats and a hot day. And by the time he showed back up, I was just over it. I was asleep. So, I mean, unless somebody reminds me of what it is that they're coming here for, you know, I don't know how that became my issue. Anyway, he came back hours later and was like, I just need to sleep here. And I was like, that's cool. You know, I made room for him on the bed and offered him a pillow and all that. And, he laid there for a while, and then he got up and just, like, put his shoes on and just stormed out. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he starts texting me, you know, that apparently I was supposed to perform this action for him that I, you know, he came back the second time and said he was going to go to sleep, you know, and I'm like, cool, I was sleeping, let's go to sleep, you know, quiet, get you, you know, maybe a little less drunk, maybe a little less high, you know, and maybe he'll help you out tomorrow and you can be like a human being. But no, he had to take it this extra step further. So he texted me. And I had gotten something from him. I got some weed from him, okay? And he had said he didn't want any money for it. I thought he was mad about that. So I, like, you know, 2:30 in the morning, I'm zelling him money to, like, try to, you know, try to make this better, try to patch this shit up. And then I turned my phone off because it was like I was sleeping. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm done. I'm tired. Well, the next morning I wake up and my phone is just filled with all this stuff of, why, how is it that you need me so much? You're just so needy. You're this, you're that. And I'm thinking, the last thing I ever asked you for was weed, and you gave it to me, and I don't understand it. Well, he basically told me to not ever contact him again in a roundabout way. You know, said that, you know, that I will need him before he needs me ever again, and to, like, basically just leave him the fuck alone. It's kind of a dumb thing to say to somebody that has borderline personality disorder. It's kind of like, I can definitely win this challenge. I have let go of so many people in my life that I have loved, that I have wanted in my life, for less than that, you know. And to challenge me to be the first one to break on needing somebody, I guess we're never going to talk again, because I'm not going to break. I don't need him. I don't need him. Maybe I used him to get weed from, maybe, but did I need him? No, because I can find it someplace else. And do I really need weed? No, I need it about as much as I need my medication, which I don't need. So, it makes life easier, and it makes it a little bit more fun, you know, and a little less hectic. But do I need it? No. You know what I need? I need oxygen, water, and food. That's what I need. Now, what I desire and what I would like to have are two entirely separate situations. But this goes back to the incident with the phone that I'm not sure that I talked about, where I had let him borrow my phone a couple, probably going back to 8 weeks ago now, and he came to return the phone and just gave me back the phone charger and never gave me my phone. And when I asked him about where my phone was, he went off on me on a tirade of how irresponsible I was and what a loser I was. Oh yeah, he called me loser in the text too, which doesn't go over well. What a loser I was, and how, how I ran my life all disorganized and all this and all that. And then the next morning when I woke up, my phone was on my bed because he had it. I was already having some trust issues with him because of, you know, the people that I know he's hanging around with that don't like me, and we had already had that incident of him, you know, coming to me and telling me that he knew what was going on, and that, you know, all this was, all people were, like, you know, conspiring against me and all that. And now, you know, the phone, and then the phone came, the missing phone, and then the phone returned, and when I went through my phone, there was stuff missing and deleted, and there was, like, weirdness going on with my Facebook, and, you know, there was all this stuff going on. I wound up having to download a security app on my phone to make sure that they hadn't rooted it or put any kind of navigation on it, or, you know, had possibly, you know, corrupted my bank account or anything with my Google Wallet. Think about it. I mean, honest to God, people, think about it for a minute. Everything in your life is on your phone, and if somebody has access to your phone, you really better trust them, because they can do anything they want to you. They can delete stuff, they can rob you, they can put stuff out there that's not true, they can change your accounts, they can change your passwords. I didn't actually think that far about it when I got the phone back. It wasn't until, you know, a couple days ago, there was something going on. Oh, I got hacked. Yeah, I got hacked. My Facebook got hacked. I have a pretty good idea who did it, but nonetheless, my Facebook got hacked, and I really started thinking about you know, all the times that he had borrowed my phone and brought it back and it wasn't exactly working right, and what had he done and who had he shared it with, and, you know, everything. And now after this, where, you know, he basically told me I don't matter to him at all, and, you know, that he will never, that he never needed me. Well, apparently he needed me for something that night, right, which got him all freaking pissed off at me. But, you know, it's been a minute since I've actually, like, maybe fully trusted him since the phone incident, because the way he went off on me about how he had given me my phone and was sure of it, and then I knew I didn't have it. I mean, I knew he did not return it to me. And the way he fought me about that, that it was all my fault, that I had lost my own phone in my own house when he had never returned it. And then the next day, he couldn't even give it to me when I was awake. He just basically threw it at my, you know, threw it on my bed at me, and never apologized for that. You know, it really has me thinking that he's playing both sides, and I don't need that. So, if he is waiting for me to ever, ever tell him that I need him, he'll die before he ever gets that. I'm not sure that I ever want to talk to him again. I took a couple days because I wanted to do a podcast immediately when this happened, and I took a couple days to, like, kind of calm down and get that gut punch feeling out of my stomach and head and, you know, all around me, because I was hurt. I mean, I've not actually gone back to reread those texts because they were like, for somebody that says they love me and is my best friend to send me a text like that, it just proves that he's not. And, you know, and I'm starting to see how he talks about other people behind their backs and what he says. And I'm like, he does the same fucking shit to me. He is just playing both sides against the middle, and I'm not doing it anymore. Do I still love him? Yeah, I do, but I'm working on not loving him. I really am, because why do I want to love somebody who's just going to betray me and hurt me and just make me feel like I'm crazy? You know, I don't need it. I really don't. It's a new reality for me, no worse than COVID, right? Everybody's in a new reality, so why my new reality without Briss? Whatever, you know, maybe it'll be better. Maybe we ran that year out, and he's got nothing left to offer me except bullshit, and he took everything he possibly could from me, so, you know, I honestly don't know. I mean, next podcast I'll probably be praising him again, but I'm not gonna bet my life on that this time. He really pushed it to a new level this time, and, you know, he may have been drunk or whatever, but, you know, to tell somebody that they don't matter and that they're not needed by anybody, that they're basically useless. You don't say that to somebody that has a freaking mental disorder that you know about, and you know that that is going to be a trigger. Unless it's what he was hoping for, because he wanted to get into a fight with me. But I'm too old for that stuff. You know, I'm 55, and I've had this disease for a really long time, and I've been in treatment for a long time, and, you know, I have learned some tools along the way that have helped me to not get into screaming matches with people anymore, and to just back away and look at things in a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, it's a less toxic environment, you know, and giving it some time to, like, really weigh it out and see what the value is. And I'm not sure that he has any value of me anymore. You know, he wasn't really there for me, and, you know, and I had paid him to help me do some stuff around my house, and he didn't do any of it for me, and I still paid him, and I never got, he, you know, he never, ever has acknowledged the fact that I paid him for work that he has yet to do, and I'm gonna have to hire somebody else to do it. But yeah, he can go out and help other people, you know, and do this and do that for them, but, you know, as his best friend, I'm not important enough for him to finish any projects for. So, you know, there's something there that's not good, and I mean, I'm still a little bit devastated, but having had 2 days to, you know, fully think about this and cry, actually, I haven't cried. I didn't cry at all about this. It's like, I've already cried enough about him and the way he's treated me in the past couple months, and, you know, the way he's like, I'll never need you again, like, oh, I've got some other chick, like, good for you, dude. Go COVID it out. I hope, like, while she's giving you head, like, you know, she gives you freaking coronavirus. Or I hope while you're going to go see her that you get a DUI. Or I hope you freaking roll your truck. Or evil stuff, right? We got that. You know? We got that. You know? But I'm not. If it happens to him, it happens to him. It's all on him now. There's nothing I can do to, there's nothing I can do or want to do. You know, under any other circumstances, I would have been the first one to go there and been like, yeah, you're right, I need you, please come back, blah, 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 beg, 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 beg. He's not getting it. I don't need him. I don't need anybody, honest to God. I have certain people around me because they enhance my life and I enjoy their company, but I really don't need anybody. I've been a solo act for a long time. You know what I need? I need my dog. I need Doc, because he's like the one stabilizing factor I have in my life. But do I need somebody who is possibly talking with my enemies and now feeding them information about me and playing both sides? I really don't. I don't need that shit. I really, really don't. So this could be the end of the Briss tale. It wasn't short. It was a year. We met him just about a year ago, so it's a full year. I don't know. I really don't know, and I really don't care. It is what it is. I guess people just sometimes seal their own fate, and him with this text of that I'm not needed and I'm pretty much a useless piece of fucking shit on earth that nobody will ever need me and that I'm useless. Yeah. Did I have suicidal thoughts running through my head? It did. Briefly, but they were there. They came and they went, and I didn't act on them. But I was that hurt that I was like, well, maybe he is right. Maybe I really am useless and not needed and a piece of shit and a waste of earth and air. Maybe I should just die. But, rational thought came around after that and was like, this is just one person's opinion of you who is just mad because he didn't get his fucking dick sucked and whatever, After all the times that I've not ever refused him, and I didn't even refuse him that night. I just didn't know. I was fucking sleeping. So it's on him. This one's on him. And if he never comes around to accept it and come to me to apologize and try to fix this, I'm not doing it. I'm not. He can be written out of my life just as easily as Scott and just as easily as Ricky. And as easily as my mother. Just done. Cut. Out of my life. All over. So, that's kind of what's been going on. The heat has me kind of in a testy mood anyway. And I've just been like sleeping a lot during the day and then up at night. I'm trying to catch up on updating the web page, which I have done some work to, but it still needs some work. I'm booked for a few podcasts coming up, but because I'm kind of disorganized right now, because I haven't really been in the game, working it hard, I haven't anything written down yet, but I'm definitely coming up on shows. 24th for sure is one. I don't know when it will air, but that's the day I'm doing it. And there's stuff in the works. I'm booking guests, and there'll be some, new people on for you all to listen to, and, I'm gonna keep this thing going no matter what, right? Because, maybe I need you guys, and maybe you need me, and maybe that's not bad to have a weakness, and to actually need somebody, and to actually feel supported. Maybe it's not a weakness, maybe it's a strength, I don't know, but, I do know that, you guys definitely enhance my life and make it better. Now, on that note, let me say hello to Japan. Thank you for ranking me. I was really surprised to see you guys, and welcome Japan. Hi. Hi to my old favorite Mongolia. Love you guys. Russia, hi. Oh my God. I've been charting in so many different places, I don't even remember all the list of the countries. But I want to say thank you to all of you for listening. I hope you get something out of it. Go to the website, dancingwithbipolar.com. Drop me a line. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know what it is about the show that, is helping me to rank in all these different countries. Because it's really humbling to know that you guys are listening to me. We've hit over 16,000? I think it's 16,000 listens, which is amazing for a solo show that really has no backing and no tracking, no traction. But I appreciate you guys. I really do. I appreciate everybody that listens to this show. And I really hope I help you as much as you help me. And, longer than I thought again on this one. So I think that's it. I just want to thank you all for listening, supporting the show. Let people know about it. Put it out there. Write me a review if you want. You can go to Apple and write a review. There's a bunch of places. But feel inclined to write me a nice review. It's not, maybe it'll stoke my ego a little bit. But it just helps, especially when award season comes around, which, maybe this year Dancing with Bipolar will be included in a couple of the categories, and that would be awesome whether I win or not. Just to be included is always good. So, I think that's it for now. If I got more to say, I'll always pop back on here. And I just want to thank you all so, so much for supporting the show. You all rock. So this is Dawn Sharina. This is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. And hey, let's all stay alive, okay? Later. Hi, this is Dawn Sharina of Dancing with Bipolar. As we all know, COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. There are a few ways to help lower the spread of this respiratory disease, however. Wash your hands, avoid touching your face, including your mouth, nose, and eyes. Cover your coughs and sneezes. Monitor your symptoms and consult with your doctor. Stay home and away from other sick people, except for medical care. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. That's cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.